This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, we're here. It's 400 below outside. We just were talking about it. We're sick of it. I know, hot take. It's cold in Minnesota, and it is technically still winter, but we're done. I'm sorry. It's March 13th. It should be warmer than this. Gensel, Carter, Hartman, all here with you for the next 3 hours. First hour dominated by the Vikings signing the best quarterback on the planet and the fact that Adam is a little dismayed because he thought he would be the next Secretary of State. Good guess, Matt Dowd. Matthew's going to join us, 12:35. Jamie Yuka's 1:35. There's a large clown convention in Bloomington. And we have two clowns from the clown convention. And we decided to go new school, old school.
You know? Yeah, I'm the one that came across this yesterday. Susie did some stories in the clown convention yesterday.
Right.
And she was telling me about how there's kind of a new school of clowning and an old school of clowning.
Which makes sense,
apparently, right?
Apparently
there's some conflict and strife at the clown convention about the new school versus old school.
Oh, I didn't know that. So it's not like a mentor situation?
No, I mean, I think most clowns are agreeable down there, but there's an old school of thought and a new school of thought to clowning.
And interesting.
She gave me the names and numbers of a couple representatives of the new school and the old school.
Okay, so that's 235, right? Yeah. Then we also have another pair of Wolves tickets to give out. And we got a wacky contest, which we'll tell you about as the show moves along. Before we get to the Cousins talk, I want to ask you this. I think it was last Tuesday, or it might have been Wednesday, one of the two, and there was a large tray of pasta in the fridge.
Penny
pasta. Lindsay, among your pastas, where does Penny pasta, the shape, rank
middle
for
you? Middle of the road.
Middle of the road, Adam?
Up top.
Near the top for me. I like a Penny pasta. Yeah. And I would say in this large tray, I mean large, like group tray.
Right. There, like catering.
Yeah, it was like
tub.
What would you say, like 70% or so was left?
Yeah, there's a lot left.
And I told you I'd give you $100 if you finish it. You declined. I think that was a good decision.
Not Whole30 compliant.
No, not.
If you caught me a month ago, I might have taken you up.
You would have died. And we would have.
Oh, I wouldn't have died.
We would have given you a segment, you know, but then we would have moved on. Okay. The tray is still in the fridge, by the way.
No, Dan Culhane just made an executive move and put it in the garbage.
Oh,
or the recycling.
Thank you.
But it was gone. It was empty. I mean, it was basically empty. I love that, too.
That's
you
my
take
question.
The last, keep it in the fridge. I mean, there's somebody who want to lick the thing. I mean, come on.
Well, my question is, Lindsay, were people still having it this week?
Yes, because there's a coffee mug next to the sink that is new. That has pasta remnants in it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, so just today?
Somebody put the pasta in the coffee mug?
They put it in the coffee mug to microwave it.
Yeah. Sometimes we don't have a lot of plates.
We don't have
any. Oh, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, it's a vessel. It's the vessel to get it in the microwave.
Oh.
I suppose. Yeah. I never thought of that.
I like that. We have, on our floor, we don't have the fine dining upstairs. They're much, much better than us upstairs.
Well, in fairness, there are some people on the third floor that come down to our little kitchenette, which is, you know, pretty terrible to begin with, and they make a mess, and then they go up to the third floor and pretend like it didn't happen.
Wait, you're mouthing it's Shannon. You're telling me Shannon, no. Our boss, is doing that. Adam.
The whole thing's disgusting.
Did you realize that it was Shannon's coming down and making?
I did not.
No, but I mean, when you're the boss,
you gotta look the other way.
Yeah, I'm not gonna call her.
When there are leftovers, they get pummeled into our fridge, whereas the third floor fridge is always nice.
Looks
and
nice.
Pristine.
It does look nice. Kirk Cousins, how nice and pristine is he going to look? We've got many views on that. Let's just start this way. Text 81807. if all the reports turn out to be accurate, do you like the move? Simple as that. If it turns out it's a done deal, I think Rosie might have had today's wave first. Credit to him. Others are saying it's the same idea, but you know they need to come to dinner. He needs to see the new place. Wait till he sees that board in Spielman's office and the competitive advantage that's going to bring. Yes or no? Do you like the move? Kirk Cousins, 3 years, Adam Carter type of money, $84 million. Yes or no, you like it? 81807. All right, keep them coming here. 81807. Cousins, yes or no? So here's the scenario, I guess. I think he had five we know of, right? And then the X factor. The five we know of, Bradford, Bridgewater, Keenum, all on the team last year, all right now off the team, all free agents right now. Then you have Cousins. Then you have Breeze. And then you have the surprises, you know, Josh McCown or other names. Of those five, Adam Carter, if money was not a factor, let's start it that way. If money was not a factor, which one gives the Vikings the best chance to win games next year? Bradford, Bridgewater, Keenum, Breeze, Cousins.
I'm going to say Drew Breeze.
Drew Breeze? I'm with you 100%. That Drew Breeze, even at the age of, what, 39, was their best chance or the best quarter, in my view, the best chance to be the best quarterback next year. Who's second?
I think slightly, probably Cousins.
Cousins?
Slightly ahead of
Keenum.
Keenum, yeah.
Okay.
Bradford, I think, is just his leg is bothersome. His knee is bothersome.
Yeah, I mean, if he was immobile the year before, and then he had more problems last year. So then you're in this position. What do you do? Okay. You've got a lot of money this year. The cap continues seemingly to go up because the NFL is a cash cow. It's going to go up $10 million more next year. You have holes still. There's no denying that. That it's not like they're a perfect roster. The bigger names are free agents the following season with Diggs and the two linebackers and Hunter at the top of the list. But that's next year. But you need to supplement this roster. So, seemingly the reports appear to be that Keenum might be $18 to $20 million. And that might be for 2 or 3 years. We don't know if it's guaranteed yet. At least I didn't see that last half hour or so. Whereas Cousins is $84 million, 3 years. If we accept the reports, guaranteed. So for you, let's say the gap is $8 million. And what potentially that means. Would you rather pay the $8 million more and have Kirk Cousins compared to Case Keenum?
At this point, I'm saying no.
Yeah, sadly, we're screwing this game up because what's great about talk radio is you got hot takes, you have these arguments, because I'm also with you. No.
I just think Case Keenum is a slightly better, or Kirk Cousins is a slightly better version of Case Keenum.
Okay, keep them coming. Where do you stand on this issue? This will be the talker off and on today, and then we'll get to the Rex Tillerson situation, which obviously is enormous. We'll get to that with Matt Dowd, bottom of the hour. So I went through the list, Carter, and I tried to be my most optimistic. And I decided to say, this
how long
question,
is that highway?
Well, with the Vikings last year, I was much
I was
more optimistic
say,
than
Mr.
you,
Purple.
Right?
Ooh,
exactly.
You were just devastated by the loss,
and I was wrong. You know, taught me a lesson.
My wallet thanks you.
Taught me a lesson. Go back to my cynical self. I went through it under this question. If it was quarterback just for next year, okay, not down the line, not factoring what team he's on, but I can have any quarterback who would I have? And I came up with Kirk Cousins as the 13th best quarterback in the National Football League.
Oh, you're doing some homework.
I did. And listen, we can come up with all the metrics.
Shefty.
We can do the eye test. I got to be honest with my friends in town. We're saying he is absolutely a top 10 quarterback. No. We just it's the beauty of sports. If you want to debate and say you disagree with me on some, sure. But like it's a no-brainer that he's a top 10 quarterback, I want to put you in the concussion protocol. If you think it's a no-brainer. Now, if this defense plays close to how they played last year outside of one little game, which I like to call the NFC Championship, or the second half against the New Orleans Saints, and that still gives you some pause about what that may portend for next year. But if you have the 13th best quarterback, you know what you can do? You can do what you did last year. Because I bet if I went through it last year, Case Keenum, I bet Case Keenum was better than the 13th best quarterback in the National Football League last year.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think there's any doubt about it?
No, he's probably top five, wasn't he?
Oh, I don't know if I want to go that
really?
Far. Yeah, I'm not going to go that he was one of the five best quarterbacks in the NFL last year.
Just last year?
Yeah, I would differ. Mort, I'll be Shefty. You can be Mort. But so what do you do? Because that's the thing. Because when we get hung up on the money, you always have to remember this. In free agency, every year, every sport, people get overpaid. That's just how it happens. You know, does he deserve to get this compared to, you know, Brady and all the others? Does Jimmy Garoppolo deserve to get the $27.5 million he has after starting five games? By the way, I take him over Cousins.
Oh, for sure.
Right? So I'm doing some projecting there, right? But it is in that position. So how much of this is tied to let's go for it, in your view, next year versus let's try to get this resolve for a while? Because it gets a little overblown, I think, on the fact basis here about they haven't had a franchise quarterback since Tarkin. If I hear that one more time, that's lunacy. It's just factually wrong. Kramer, for multiple years, let's just go back, for multiple years, was a franchise-type quarterback. He was a better version. Kramer, for his best, for about 4 or 5 years, was better than the 13th best quarterback, right? When they had Warren Moon, for multiple years, Warren Moon was a franchise-style quarterback. He wasn't Warren Moon Houston, but he was in that late top 10 the years he was here. Cunningham was the best player in football that year. Okay? So don't act like he wasn't. Dante, for 2 or 3 years, was a fabulous quarterback. Favre, for 1 year, was a magnificent quarterback. Keenum, last year, great quarterback. Teddy, again, a lot of the same people talking about what a franchise quarterback he was. Teddy Bridgewater never, ever, 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 ever was a franchise quarterback.
Don't forget that Josh Freeman game against the Giants.
The next person who says that Teddy Bridgewater was a franchise quarterback, dismiss them for any credibility. I'm just going to hot take on it. Could he have been that? Sure. The 1 year he started extensively, don't tell me this nonsense that he was a franchise quarterback. He had a lot working against him. He had a lousy offensive line. I'm not sure Turner was the best fit. I'm not sure he might have been the best fit with AP. But stop. I keep hearing that he was a franchise quarterback. Never was Teddy a franchise quarterback. He may have turned into it. So what do you think? Was this about 2018, we got to go for it? Or, hey, the guy's in his late 20s. He doesn't get hurt. Sure, he's not Rodgers, he's not Brady, but he will give us more security for a longer period of time than any of the other options.
I think he is, in their view, both.
Both, yeah, and which is in some ways.
Let's win next year.
Right.
And we'll be around for a while.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best option. Let's look at some of the text here we respond. Drew Brees resigns with New Orleans. Yes, we all know that happened hours and hours ago. Mitch Leidner. Yeah, I mean, can we eliminate Mitch Leidner? Would you look at Leidner? Who's the best ever South St. Paul quarterback? Is there anybody that comes to mind?
Oh, there's been a couple. just the recent guys. I mean,
no, all-timer.
All-time
all-time
best quarterback for South St. Paul.
Yeah. That's going to take you think about that. Yeah. The Broncos and Keenum. I think the Broncos decided that Cousins was coming here. So go get Keenum. Breeze already re-signed with New Orleans. We know that. That doesn't stop the options that we had the conversation about.
Danny Petazewski, by the way.
Danny.
Danny Petazewski.
Okay, Danny, we'd love to see you at Egan. And maybe you can get to see that board.
He's at St. John's now.
Maybe you can see that board that Rick Spielman has. But if you don't think there's all sorts of tampering going on and the Vikings reaching out. Now, would Breeze have ever left? Most likely not. But if we play the game of the five names that were mentioned the most, who would I have liked the best, including for the money? Because most people are saying it was a one-year deal. Now, some will say, listen, part of the reason why you like Cousins is Breeze is 40 next year, and Cousins is still in his 20s, and you get that resolve. More text here. Great move to sign Cousins, above-average quarterback, just entering his prime. One-ranking Breeze. Bradford, Cousins, I don't trust.
No.
I trust Bradford more than I trust Teddy. There's no way, no way. As much as they love Teddy, the human being and the person he is, you can't go into this offseason with Teddy as your starting quarterback.
He almost lost his leg.
Yeah. What about Teddy's your backup? Does that do anything for you?
Isn't there the other kid who's coming up? What's his name?
Floater. I don't know if you can go with him yet. Love the move. I changed my computer passwords to Cousins. He's all in. The Vikings deal is one of those wait and see based on past quarterback moves. I like Cousins very much. Would have been very happy keeping Keenum. It's just the money. On the money, Adam.
Hey, if Cousins gets us a Super Bowl championship, it's worth it.
Well, that's what, okay, hot take, that's true. Last thing before we better go so we can get to Matt on time. If they go to the Super Bowl this year, but that money causes you to lose either Kendricks or Barr in 2019, is it worth it?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? Are any of those four irreplaceable? They're not. They're all good players, but they're not irreplaceable. That's a good argument people make. If you can get if you think he's a franchise-type quarterback, and you only lose one very good player, but not a game changer, then it's worth it. Matthew Dowd, has joined us many, many times. We believe this. He is as good as anybody in this country on politics. Never afraid to give praise or criticism to either side. It is a day when the president tweets out that Rex Tillerson has been fired and the CIA director, Mike Pompeo, will replace him. And Matthew is good enough to join us. For you, Matthew, I don't think anybody would have been surprised over the next few months if Tillerson was let go, considering all the reports over the last few months. But what does it tell you about the president and the administration that Rex Tillerson found out he had been fired as Secretary of State the same way you found out, the same way I found out by reading the president's tweet about the news?
Well, it calls to mind how, FBI Director Comey found out he was fired.
Correct.
Getting on an airplane and no phone call, no personal contact. And it is rather amazing to me for a president that has made a career in reality TV on telling people they're fired is
right.
so afraid of actually saying it to somebody.
Yes.
What? It's and I think he really is fundamentally, the interesting thing is I've watched him, is fundamentally confrontation averse. He doesn't like confrontation. He wants somebody else to do the dirty work for him in this, or he wants to do it and never engage in the conversation. But, it's one of the highest ranking officials in the administration who was talked into this, who left his job, the CEO of Exxon, has now been basically treated in a manner that even basic employees aren't.
Well, you think about when a candidate is running, the most important decision that candidate makes is the vice president. And let's be honest, the first reason why most people pick a vice president is to help them win a state or two. Now, that person better be capable to be president if something horrible happens. But we know this. It's an election asset. But then, Matt, when you're looking about the most important positions and you're putting together your cabinet, this is it. Secretary of State. And just to handle it in this way, in almost any other way, is stunning. Now, Tillerson is going to speak in the next 30 minutes or so. What do you expect Tillerson to say?
What I would want him to say and what I expect him to say are probably two very different things. I'd want him to basically to totally be transparent and open and say, talk about the difficulties he's had and what he's worried about, and, you know, talk about some of the successes. But my guess is he's going to downplay, I don't know, this is my guess, he'll downplay what this meant, and he'll try to ease out of this in this next 24 hours in a way that he applauds the service, gives the president his best, and moves on. Then I think there'll be a lot of interviews given or books written or articles done that basically start to reveal it more. But I think my expectation is in the first 24 hours, he tries to glide out of town on a relatively positive note with the president. That's my guess.
So let's go at it this way. If you're the president of the United States, you should have people that you have the utmost confidence in, that will carry your message, that will challenge you when necessary, and are with you on key decisions. Is it fair to say, from what we know, Matt, that Mike Pompeo is closer to the president on policy issues than Rex Tillerson is or has been? And from that standpoint, it makes sense to make this move.
I think from that aspect, I would say he's much closer on most policy issues with the president. So in that way, I think that's true. Also, I think they're much closer tonally.
I think
Rex Tillerson was willing to sort of glide off on his own. He didn't enable the president in a lot of his language, and he wasn't effusive in his praise. Mike Pompeo, I think, is much more like that. And I think that's what the president fundamentally wants, is idea that the president was going to surround himself with a team of rivals and watch him debate it out and him to be confronted with various facts that may cause him to change his mind. He doesn't really, we've discovered, he doesn't really want that. He also is, as foreign leaders have found out and many people in this country have found out, he is a person that is very susceptible to personal praise. And
mm-hmm.
I think
yep.
that's one of the fundamental things I think that he didn't get. I mean, as you recall, it was reported that Secretary Tillerson called the president a moron in a meeting over at the Pentagon. And so I think Mike Pompeo will play that game with the president's personality much better than Rex Tillerson.
And it sounds like the proximity between Pompeo and the president has been constant, that often – that Mike Pompeo almost every day was coming over from Langley to give those updates to the president face to face. And a lot of times others, the past CIA directors, wouldn't travel to the White House as much. And so the president had so much time to have this interaction with Pompeo that that's where that relationship developed a lot. So what effect does this have on two enormous issues out there? North Korea. Are we going to have a meeting? And the Iran deal. The president, throughout his campaign, railed against the Iran deal, said it was the worst deal out there. Reports say he's wanted to back away, but that Tillerson, Mattis, and others have counseled him to not do that. Now with Pompeo in charge, what happens on those two enormous issues?
So I would let me talk about those two, and then I'm going to add a third one. I think on the Iran deal, it's more clear that it's likely to happen. I think the president wants to end the deal and do it in a way. I think Tillerson has been one of the voices saying, no, 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 no. This is important that we stick to this. We made a commitment. And Iran, from what everybody could tell, is basically sticking to it from their end. I think as soon as possible, Mike Pompeo is going to encourage the president to go along with what the president already wants to do, which is try to end the Iran deal. So I think that's a clear change that will happen. On North Korea, it's more unclear about what this could mean on as we head into this possible meeting between the president and Kim Jong-un that is supposed to happen, and what will be the lead up to that and how that will be handled. I don't know. One of the things that you have to give, I could fault Rex Tillerson for many things, but one of the things I give him credit for is his continued work on maintaining a conversation with South Korea and North Korea in the midst of all of the president's bravado and things that he said along the way. And I don't know if Mike Pompeo will adopt that same attitude and will adopt that same relationship that Rex Tillerson previously had. So that one is more unclear, but I do know that Rex Tillerson had a very good ongoing conversation on the Korean Peninsula. And the third issue, let's add to this, is what does this mean for our relationship, or what are we going to do about Russia?
Sure, yeah.
Because even though Rex Tillerson had a relationship with Vladimir Putin because of being CEO of Exxon and the work they did there, he was willing to speak out against Russia.
Correct.
In pretty clear ways. And the fascinating thing today, when he agreed with the Prime Minister of Great Britain on what happened on the poisonings, and he was clear about his direction aimed at Russia, aimed at Vladimir Putin, which the president has of yet been clear about in what he thinks about that. So it's going to impact all those relationships, but I think the clearest one quickly will probably be Iran.
Matt Dowd is our guest. It's 45 past 12. We're going to attempt to carry part of what Rex Tillerson has to say, expecting to hear from him near the top of the hour. Let's not forget about the new CIA director, if she is approved. This is Gina Haspel. She would be the first female CIA director ever. But as you know, Matt, she has a past which has involved a great deal of criticism. She was overseeing the CIA's prison in Thailand post 9/11, which oversaw the torture of a number of individuals who were waterboarded 80 some times. There has been criticism towards her. There was a push from some agencies to have her arrested. I watched some of the commentary today saying, you know what, she was just being the good soldier. She was doing what she was told to do. Others push back on that. When she faces her hearings, I'm assuming this is going to be a huge part of it. Do you think she's going to last that part when it comes up, and the divide that we still have with some people in this country about waterboarding / torture?
Well, I think it's going to be a very grueling hearing for her. First, I think it's a great thing that this will be the first time a woman has been nominated to the position of CIA director. So that's a great glass ceiling that is attempted to break. So that's a good thing. I think there are many very valid questions that needs to be asked of her related to that. And the other part related to that is all those tapes that were destroyed.
Yes.
Of many of those investigations, or many of those torturings there is some relationship between the destruction of those tapes and the position she had and what she knew about it, and how, and the New York Times had reported on this. And the main questioner of this is going to be, and the main person raising this, and the main concern they should have is with John McCain. John McCain he's already put out a statement saying she needs to answer a bunch of questions. He put it out today.
Right.
He's been a very big push against this torture and how we can't have this. And so I think it's a valid question to ask. She is going to be grilled on this. And I think a lot, whether or not she gets the position will depend on how she answers those questions. Because it's not just Democrats that are about it. There are many Republicans that have been concerned about what we did.
Although the president himself has said he's all for waterboarding, right?
And he's talked about we should do worse than waterboarding.
Yes. Yeah. It's not strong enough. Let's get to one other item, and I'll let you go, because this can't slip by us, that the House Republicans, the House Intelligence Committee, they decided Monday they're done. That after many, many interviews, thousands of documents, that they have reached the conclusion, again, this is the Republicans, not the shared committee. And Mike Conway, who is the main rep here, said the bottom line is Russians did commit active measures against our election in 2016, and we think that we'll do that in the future. But we disagree with the narrative that they were trying to help candidate Trump. Now, to a lot of us, Matt, this basically is saying that top intelligence people at the end of the Obama administration, and every bit as importantly, and you know this well, the top intelligence people within the president's administration, which includes Mike Pompeo, have said absolutely that Russia was involved and trying to benefit President Trump. I'm putting aside the collusion because there's no proof so far. We'll see if it gets to it. But all of a sudden, they're coming out and saying the CIA and our top intelligence people that they're wrong. That's a startling direct accusation against our top people.
Yeah, yes, it is. And it's unfortunate because the facts don't bear out what the report they just released. And including, you add to it, Bob Mueller has filed, has indicted 13 Russians, and his report basically lays out in a conspiracy what the Russians tried to do,
right,
how they interfered in our elections, and that they were seeking to hurt Hillary Clinton and benefit Donald Trump. They laid it out. Bob Mueller laid all of it out. And so I'm not surprised at what they did. It's very disappointing. I'm not surprised because the House Republicans on this committee have, from the beginning, have gone out of their way to not do what they need to do to the job. They haven't even interviewed many of the characters in this, Paul Manafort, Mike Flynn, they haven't even interviewed those people on the committee, and they've closed down the committee now in saying it's over, it's done.
So what about their comeback, Matt, where they say, listen, we've tried, they won't talk, how many times can we bring them up? We're not calling for Bob Mueller's special counsel privileges to be ended, but we can't just sit here and wait. We have to come to some conclusion at some point.
Well, they have not. I think that's a false excuse.
Yep.
They have not used the powers of the committee in a manner that they could to force testimony. They haven't used them at all. And any of the people that came, Hope Hicks and Steve Bannon and all those folks, they haven't used the power of the committee to force that testimony. They also had an opportunity to work with Mueller on the folks that were indicted to bring them in. They could have easily done that. They've used every opportunity, unfortunately, to make this a partisan exercise, to get this done in such a way so that it would help Donald Trump and not hurt Donald Trump. Now, the House Democrats on that committee are going to release their own report. They say they're going to release a report that demonstrates more facts related to what the Russians did, as well as the idea that there is information available that shows there was some collusion. They're going to release a report. I don't know when it's going to come, in the next day or two. I think what we've come down to is the Congress has become so partisan that the only one we can rely on in this process is Bob Mueller.
And we don't know when he's going to be done, but I'm with you. I mean, it's sad that people keep just going back to their sides, and the idea of accepting facts has seemingly moved out the window.
And the Republicans are faced with, I think it was a mistake. I said a year ago that the best thing for Republicans to do if they wanted to help themselves win re-election was to separate themselves from the president and to show that the president was his person and were the House Republicans. What they've done with this decision on this report is actually tie themselves even more, and I think it's going to cause them major problems in November. And tonight there's a special election,
right,
that you could see a Democrat win a district carried by Donald Trump by 20 points. And the main reason why that's going to happen is because the Republican Party has become the Trump Party, and the Trump Party part of that party is very unpopular.
Great stuff as always, sir. We'll reach out again soon. Thanks for your time.
Sounds great, man. Take care.
Matt Dowd with us, 1252. That is your Lindis Construction Time Check. Time to improve the look of your home with Infinity by Marvin Windows. And a reminder, Matt Dowd, a part of the campaign to elect George W. Bush. He now is an independent. But if you think this is some flaming liberal, you're 100% wrong.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.